Hello and welcome to Reporting In. I'm your host, Malcolm Fleschner. Reporting In is a TYT network show dedicated to the topic of investigative journalism, to reporting, to critiquing the news media. And today on the show, we have part two with a very special guest. It's Lee Camp, who is the host of Redacted Tonight on RT, as well as a beloved, universally beloved, as I meant called him last week, a political satirist and dissident. I think that's a legitimate a moniker for you, Lee. Lee, are you there?
Thank you.
Wonderful.
I'll take dissident.
Yeah, no, and I think it's accurate. And also, I note that Lee and I, this is part two. As I said last week, we spoke at some length about the midterm elections in the Democratic Party and the struggles getting the corporate-controlled Democrats and Republicans to do anything that the American people are interested in. And it went so well, Lee and I decided to wear the same clothes for this week's show. So thank you, Lee. We both arrived at that independently. So
same sweat stains and all.
Yeah. Yeah, mine are slightly larger, curiously enough. So go watch the first episode if you didn't, because Lee had really insightful things to say about areas of where there's agreement with the Democrats and the Republicans that most people don't acknowledge. That the rest of us in these midterms and these elections are fought over the small sliver of policy differences, whereas on the wars and on the environment for the most part and on economic issues, really, there is essentially agreement. And you know, the criminal justice, there's mostly agreement between the Republicans and the Democrats, and nobody talks about that. So that's why we have people like Lee Camp and Redacted Tonight. He also has a new stand-up special coming out, or that's out. It's called Super Patriotic Very Uncle Sam Comedy Special, not allowed on American TV. You can find that at veryunclesam.com or leecampcomedyspecial.com. And it's very funny. The parts that I've seen, I was thinking maybe I would get a freebie, like give me a free password to watch it without paying, but that's apparently not in the cards. So I guess I'm going to have to pay.
Your free one got lost in the mail. I can't believe it.
Yeah, that's it. Also, Lee doesn't follow me on Twitter. It's not a big deal. I don't dwell on it, but there's 15,000 people you do follow. Really, it's an elite group. So,
Malcolm, I blocked you after you sent me all those photos of your junk.
Oh, I only wish they were my junk. I'm not. Well, we don't have to get into that. Anyway. So what I want to talk to you about today is not only Redacted Tonight, the show that you do for RT, but also your sort of approach to the news and your perspective on it, and as you're a member of the news media, how you deliver the news. So what is the thrust behind Redacted Tonight that makes it different from other shows that people could watch on, say, other networks, the traditional media?
Yeah, I mean, well, so as the name implies, I try and find stories that are either being covered incorrectly, usually intentionally incorrectly, on your mainstream media, or being avoided entirely. Often it's stories that are avoided entirely, and sometimes it's ones where even the wording they're using is intended to slightly manipulate or mislead. A lot of it has to do with war or endless bombing. I've covered the $21 trillion that has gone unaccounted for at the Pentagon over the past couple decades.
That's trillion with a T, by the way, for those who weren't paying close attention. $21 trillion that since like 1995 or something, the Pentagon, and this is one of the Project Censored stories. I talked to Andy Lee Roth from Project Censored a couple weeks ago, and that's one of their top censored stories. $21 trillion. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and to try and help someone wrap their brain around that, the GDP of Britain is like 2.8 trillion or something. Granted, I don't know what they're exporting, meat pies or something. So it's a little rough, but still. So I try and cover those stories, but even the shows that maybe do a little bit of that on your mainstream, they still aren't really allowed to get at the heart of corporate America, at the heart of the inverted totalitarianism in which we live. That's a term that Chris Hedges uses a lot. I think he got it from Sheldon Wolin, but it means rule by the anonymous corporate state. In the last episode with you, Malcolm, you mentioned the Princeton study that showed that we are basically a corporate oligarchy. And that is what dictates a lot of what is allowed on our corporate airwaves. And so I had, as a comedian, having done this, now I've done it stand up for 20 years, but at the time, 15 years, I had given up ever being on television other than a little glimpse here and there because I didn't fit with what's allowed on corporate media. I was on MSNBC one time. I was on CNN one time. And they realized this does not go with what we're allowed to say. And so I had kind of given it up and being on TV. And then RT America has given me a freedom that I never thought I'd get on television. I have said everything I want. I write all my own stuff, which is in comedy world is very rare. And I've been given complete freedom, which is also why there's other mainstream people that have been booted out of the mainstream for daring to say come out against the Iraq war or things like that, such as Chris Hedges, Jesse Ventura, Ed Schultz. And they ended up at RT America for that reason.
Or Phil Donahue, who had the highest ratings on MSNBC going into the Iraq war, but he was anti-war. And so they said, well, we've got to be seen as being for the war, so you have to go. Which puts the lie to the notion that TV is ratings driven. No, there are some things that are more important than ratings. Just ask Phil Donahue about it.
Because he was their top show at the time.
Yeah, he was. And even MSNBC becoming the liberal network was like a mistake. Like they didn't even do it on purpose. They fell into it. So it was. They don't even get credit for what little credit they do deserve. So you have the opportunity to do something different. And one of the things that you do differently is that you talk about really serious issues, the wars and criminal justice reform and climate change, like the devastations of climate change. But you also do it with a comedic bent. You've got shows like The Daily Show that do it with Jon Stewart and now with the Trevor Noah, who they cover things from sort of a liberal perspective and they are funny and they try to be funny about it. But they don't do funny about the Syrian civil war, you know, they pre-select topics that they can make funny. You pre-select topics that aren't being covered and should be covered by the mainstream media and then make them funny. And that seems like it's an extraordinary challenge.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way to define it is I think they wouldn't really pick a topic that they feel isn't fairly easy to mock. I often pick topics where I'm like, I don't know where I'm going to find the funny in this, but hopefully I'll get it somewhere. So it is definitely difficult to find the humor in these things. But I find that, you know, any topic can have humor if the quote unquote victim of the joke is the powerful, you know, is the mainstream media, is the politicians, is the rich. Then you're punching up, and I think people can laugh at it from that angle. And to define what it is that like a lot of our kind of more mainstream comedy news shows do, I couldn't really have defined it myself, but I heard Chris Hedges say this, and I think this is pretty accurate, is that they'll poke fun at the foibles of the leaders without really getting to the core of systemic problems. So they will make fun of Trump all day long, but they're not going to get to the heart of, you know, systemic racism or the fact that so much of our Congress is, you know, multimillionaires or whatever. They're not really going to get to the heart of these problems. They're going to poke fun at this guy said this and this guy looks funny, which I'll do some of that too, but in a segment that is meant to get at the heart of things.
And so, how much of mainstream news media do you yourself consume to know what to cover and what's being covered, what's not being covered, to counter-program, I guess, for want of a better word, against? Or do you just absorb it like we all do? It's just out there, and you generally know how things are being covered. Or do you make a point to seek out the coverage that, like, watch? Like, I'm going to see how is CNN covering the Gaza border situation and the massacre of people there? And now how can I tell the people what they're not getting about that story?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I will actively seek it out. I'll flip on CNN and see how they're covering something. Usually, you know, especially if I need a segment, I'm like, oh, I have 3 minutes to fill. Let's see what CNN's saying about this thing. But honestly, I can't watch more than 30 seconds without, like, you know, filling my pages with, you know, it's like, okay, well, that's a subtle manipulation. That's wrong. That's designed to make you think this, when in fact that, like, it doesn't take long to be able to pick apart each thing that is designed to kind of manufacture consent, whether it's manufacturing consent for war or manufacturing consent for exploitation of the American worker. I don't watch that much, honestly. Sometimes I'll catch some of the more outrageous stuff, but in general, I found that, like, when it was on around me, and I, you know, years ago, I used to leave it on. I used to have MSNBC just running in my house and my apartment, and it just, it makes you feel ill, and you're like becoming dumber. And so now I kind of don't watch nearly as much. I get my news from, alternative outlets that are doing great work, like Truth Dig or Mint Press, or, you know, some of the Intercept stuff, some stuff at Democracy Now. So it's like, I'd rather turn on those outlets if I have the time to leave something on, or then just to leave CNN or something. I feel like it's making us all kind of dumber. And a lot of it is just vapid nonsense. And even when they are covering an important story, it's wall to wall 24/7 on that story and nothing else, so that all of the other millions of important stories, you're not seeing any of them. I mean, like, the pipe bomb story is an important story, but when it's all they're talking about, you're not hearing about anything else. You're not hearing about genocide in Yemen. You're not hearing about what's going on with Wall Street exploitation. You're not hearing about so much.
So, but the defense, the mainstream or corporate media would argue that they're giving people what they want because these are the stories that are of more interest to people, even if that's Hollywood fluff stories and so on and so forth. There's just not a whole lot of interest in the fact that China is creating concentration camps in Western China for the Uyghur people, and they're like, there's like a million people in a concentration camp in China now, and we just, or the Rohingya people, or Yemen, and so on and so forth. These stories, Chris Hayes, didn't Chris Hayes say that climate change stories don't, quote unquote, move the needle? Your challenge is to cover these stories that are not covered, but they would argue, and rightfully so, because they are much, there are a lot more people watching CNN than there are watching Redacted Tonight. I don't mean to, I don't want to give anything away, but the argument would be, look, those stories, people aren't interested in those stories. So, I mean, you and I have joked about, and on this show also, I interviewed a journalist in Mexico who covered all the Mexican journalists who are being killed by drug gangs and possibly by the government, and these stories that, nobody, if you ask the mainstream corporate media about it, they're like, nobody cares about those stories. Sure, they're important, I guess, but nobody cares. So, you're making a sacrifice in terms of potential viewership and clicks and views, which today it's all about clicks and views, when you make those choices to cover stories that other people decide are not worth covering, right?
Yeah, I've done my best to remain in obscurity, if that's what you're asking.
You're coming on reporting in won't do any harm to that.
The truth is that some of these stories are too, even if they don't move the needle. I mean, I've been talking, with my hair on fire about climate change since the beginning of my YouTube show years back. And they always did poorly. Like, climate change stories do not do well. But guess what? We're going to die anyway. Like, climate change don't care about YouTube clicks. It will go along on its merry way. And so, I feel an obligation to not just listen to what gets the most clicks. The other thing that gets tons of clicks is to come up with a new conspiracy every day, which Rachel Maddow has well learned, that if you have a bunch of red dots on a board every single day, people tune in. And one of those may be true out of every 100 she puts up there, but that's not really good reporting. And here's the last point. I think, if they're going to do that, if that is their argument, we're doing it because it gets coverage because it gets hits and views, then stop calling yourself news. Put CNN Entertainment right there on the thing. CNN with lots of people looking. Call it that. Don't call it news. Don't say the most trusted name in news. Don't say call it Fox. A lot of people are watching. Like, it just stop acting like you're a news source. You're just an entertainment source. And then another step would be for us as a society to then create channels that are the legitimate news, that outwardly say, we don't care whether you're watching or not. Here's what's actually going on in the world. And, I think there is a place for that. And these alternative outlets, some of which I already mentioned, I think they may never get the hits of the clickbaity stuff, but they're doing a very important work. And I don't know. I guess you're saying Chris Hayes will just be at his desk while the world is literally burning around him and he's talking about Stormy Daniels all day. If he wants to be that person, then all right.
What he wants to be is you can't speculate in his mind, but he has certain restrictions on him that are imposed by participating in a corporate structure that has to, you have to keep the advertisers and your owners happy, but also there's an insider journalistic cabal, the Washington media and corporate / government elites who basically take care of each other. And so they have a lot of masters pulling the strings, and the truth isn't one of them.
I would love for him to say that at the beginning of every show. Hey guys, I'm here. There's a lot of masters pulling a lot of strings, and I got a lot of people to keep happy. Welcome to Chris Hayes.
But part of keeping people happy is by not saying that. He couldn't, that would be his last day on the show.
I would love that if that were the beginning every night. Hey guys, a lot of strings being pulled here.
Well, actually, let me ask you about that, because you do your show out of Washington, D.C., correct?
Yeah, three blocks from the White House.
And so, depending on how you define such a thing, you are part of the media, the consortium of people who create the news or to deliver the news to the America. And, by choice. I mean, that's what you want to do. Admittedly, you're providing an alternative to what everyone else is doing for the most part, but yeah, are still in you're in the belly of the beast.
But if I'm inside those circles, I'm certainly not. I'm not at parties. I'm not invited to press corps dinners. I'm not hanging out with whatever the names of the Wolf Blitzer and Don Lemon are.
So you and Joe Scarborough aren't like hobnobbing and rubbing elbows and all that sort of thing, and talking about this latest bombing of Syria has really been done great for your General Dynamics stock or whatever, or Northrop Grumman.
We can talk a lot about our weapons stock. Yeah,
but you are, so you must do you never encounter these people? You live in a totally separate world, because lot of what they operate on is access journalism and beat sweetening and cozying up to those in power to get stories, to get the people to come on their shows. Like Chris Cuomo, if he comes at somebody too hard, then that person's going to say, okay, well, screw him. I'm not coming back on his show. So there's an incentive in place for him to go easy on these important people that he wants to have come back on his show. I can't imagine you do that, but you must be at least adjacent to it. And you have a personal experience that most people don't get of being involved in the news media.
So are you kind of explaining why you have me as a guest right now? You haven't sent enough gift baskets to Jake Tapper? Is that what happened? No, you are right. I do not have the access. I do not have very high powered guests a lot of the time. I think I have awesome guests, but they're not high powered. They're not at the tops of these elite media rungs. And, it is kind of funny, though, being in D.C., some of these people are around. Was it a month ago or something? I think Sarah Huckabee Sanders was at the bar across the street. But they just kind of disgust me. I'm not interested in really speaking to them. In the times where I've, walked through a hotel lobby and someone said, you missed it. 2 minutes ago, Donald Rumsfeld was here. I just feel really ill, like I've come down with some sort of stomach parasite.
Sounds like you dodged a bullet. I mean, figuratively.
It really did. So I'm not in these circles. I'm not, so when I could understand someone saying like, but Lee, you are hosting a show on a TV news network. But the truth is, like, there's a reason I'm on the network that is not corporate America, because corporate America really wants nothing to do with the opinions and ideas I have, which are about corporate America. So, you know, these people really do feed themselves. You know, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. They all scratch each other's back. They, you know, the CNN has all these weapons contractors and former generals as their paid contributors. And do you really think they're going to trash them and therefore cut off all access to them?
Or even acknowledge that they, I mean, they just say retired General Barry McCaffrey. They don't mention that he sits on the board of Northrop Grumman or whatever it is. You know, so I mean, they're, which is a form of lying to your audience.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And they're doing it with right now with like Saudi lobbyists. You know, they'll have articles about what's going on with Saudi Arabia and Khashoggi, and they won't mention that this is a paid lobbyist for Saudi Arabia. It's totally despicable and conflict of interest. But these people are all just scratching each other's back to get the access and to keep the gravy train running. And you know, as I said once on my show, if you look at something like Anderson Cooper being a CIA intern, which he's talked about, or I don't know if he was intern or low level or whatever, but and you know. He said that outwardly, and some people go, "Oh my God, CNN Cooper, Anderson Cooper is CIA," and it's like, well, he doesn't have to be CIA right now. But how it works is, if you're an intern at the CIA and you make friends at the CIA, and then you go work at CNN, and what do you know? You have access to some people at the CIA, and then you work your way up at CNN, and you're still close with the CIA because you've said all good things about the CIA, and now you're a big shot at CNN. And guess what? You have a lot of CIA guys you can bring on your shows. Like, that all feeds into itself.
Yeah, I mean, I think most people don't know that Wolf Blitzer used to work for AIPAC. I mean, he's, which would be disqualifying, it seems to me. But yeah. Not only is it not disqualifying, but people don't even know that he used to work for the biggest Israeli lobby in the United States. And we just pretend like that doesn't matter as a journalist. Yeah. All right, well, I'm almost out of time with you again, which these things go by so fast. But before we go, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, now you mentioned earlier that you do talk about Trump some, but not much, because you really are more interested in the phenomenon that brought us Trump and how we got here and what Trump represents, the problems, the existing problems that would contribute to this outcome where we are now. And I want to ask you about your globally. It's not just Trump. In Brazil, we have Bolsonaro. In Hungary, we have Orban. There's this rise of right-wing nationalism and xenophobia, and you know, you can call it what it is, fascism, all over the globe. And I'm wondering if you have any insight or your perspective on what is contributing to that, and what, like, if there are universal factor, or listen, Hungary's got Hungary's problems and Britain's got Brexit for their individual problems, or if you think there are some unifying factors that we should be looking at and saying, hey, this is what's causing this and this is what we need to address.
Well, I got three words that explain it, and I don't know that everyone will love it, but late stage capitalism. This is how it works when you've exploited people to kind of the end level. You know, they're really just struggling to get by, and the environment is collapsing around us. And it is when you put a profit amount on everything, on clean water, on people's lives, on roofs over their heads, on every point of life, on forests and streams and fields, then that profit will be extracted. And once it is, we're left in a place where people get very angry. They get very angry about the lives, the very tough lives they have. And that anger, for people that are not kind of educated about politics and what policies do what and that kind of thing, that anger can be easily misdirected. It can be easily channeled toward immigrants. Immigrants are the real cause of your problem. Even though you're having half your wages stolen through wage theft at your company, it's the immigrants that are doing it. You know, so it can be channeled in these various ways. And you see that in movements towards these things. Now, you also see a movement toward you know, caring more about people, maybe environmentalism, maybe, you know, a leftist leader like in Mexico has just been elected. However, those tend to get suppressed and shut down by a very powerful, rich elite that own a lot of the airwaves. And so they'd rather kind of, or maybe at least accidentally, channel it to more towards fascism than towards those other things. Like, there's a chart recently, I'm going to show it on Redacted tonight, that shows where the stocks have gone in Brazil and where they've gone in Mexico, because a leftist leader is taking over soon in Mexico and the stocks have gone down. A fascist takes over in Brazil and the stocks have gone up because these corporations are more excited about a fascist than about a leftist leader, because it could hurt their profit margins. And so, I think that's a lot of the reason for what's going on right now. But and this is how I conclude the comedy special that you mentioned at the beginning.
Spoiler alert. Sorry.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. This is how I concluded, by saying that if you combine, though, the people that really care about all of these issues in, let's stick with America for the moment, but really globally, if you take people that care about the environment, care about women's rights, labor rights, election fraud, animal rights and climate change, and you can be people of color, and you put them all together in a group, and we were all working together toward one goal, toward stopping the pro-corporate, pro-war, right-wing shift of this country, it would be like 70-80% of us. But instead, we're all online just bickering with each other, just tearing each other apart. Like, I know you're also against a police surveillance state, but you're not also a vegetarian. You're worse than Hitler. Like, that's most of what we're doing. And so I think we really need to unite to change things. And I think it could happen as long as we keep freedom of information out there.
Well, that's a very optimistic take on it. But I think it's interesting what you're saying. And we should note that Bolsonaro, he's this fascist who rose, but he was only the second most popular politician in Brazil. They had to put Lula in jail, railroad him and on phony corruption charges and railroad him to allow Bolsonaro. So that indicates, we would rather have this fascist who's going to destroy the rainforest and kill the planet than this socialist who might take a little bit of our money away. Much like, as you were pointing out earlier, the Democratic Party would rather lose to Trump than win with Bernie, if I can shorthand. And so that's what we're dealing with, and we need to identify that as the problem. But as you say, this is all a part of late-stage capitalism, which, late-stage capitalism, what does that mean? I think what you're saying is capitalism at its full flower, without the restraints, without unions to stop it, without widespread regulations from the government, from powerful government. That's what late-stage capitalism is. It means capitalism allowed the full opportunity to express itself, and it will destroy the planet. So maybe we should go a different route.
Sometimes I need you to translate for the people.
You're welcome. Look, I'm going to go. We got a lot to do because people have to read the article about it in the New York Times, have to go watch your comedy special. I have to go watch your comedy special. There's so much to do. But Lee, thank you for 2 weeks in a row for coming and being on Reporting In with me. Listen, if you can get me Chuck Todd, by the way.
I can get you Chuck Todd.
Rub elbows with him, would you, for my sake? Anyway, thank you so much to Lee Camp. Go check out his comedy specials on LeeCampComedySpecial.com. It's called Super Patriotic Very Uncle Sam Comedy Special, not allowed on American TV. And the beloved, the wonderful Lee Camp, everybody.
And 10% is going to Veterans for Peace and Food and Water Watch.
You libs. Unbelievable. You can't even be a capitalist a little bit yourself. Very disappointing. All right. Thank you very much, Lee Camp. I appreciate it. And thanks to you for watching. I hope you enjoyed me talking to Lee Camp. If you missed the first episode, go back and check it out. He had a lot of insightful stuff to say there, too. And I appreciate your watching. And then I'll see you next time, I guess, on Reporting In.